First Corinthians chapter number 1. Boy, it's so good to be here this morning. Man, it's exciting having two services and, man, being able to have more people in God's house and being able to minister more effectively. That is a blessing. Glad you're here this morning. Man, y'all could have slept in on this cold July morning here in California. And, man, you could have been different places, but you know what? You decided to come here and worship the Lord with us. And boy, we're just so excited about that. Let's stand as we read God's word, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 10. We'll just read one verse today. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 10. The Bible says, "Now I beseech you, brethren," or he's saying, you know what, hey, man, I want to encourage you, I want to motivate you, brothers, "by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." What's Paul saying here? Well, it's God speaking to us through Paul. He's saying, look, brothers, look, man, you know, there's a very important thing I want y'all to get, and that is this idea of fitting together, this idea of not, you know, being mad at each other, man, but having everything in unity, having the same mind, man, the same mind of wanting to love God and love Christ and being joined together in that idea that there's no divisions among you. What are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about, man, the age-old question, where do I fit? Where do I fit? You ever feel like you're just kind of out of place? You know, you're like, oh, man, what in the world am I doing here? We're going to try to answer that question today. Where do I fit? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you for your son, Jesus, Lord, who died for our sins. And Father, many times it can be difficult, Lord, to figure out where we fit in life. Lord, where we fit in different circumstances and in situations. And Lord, many people are searching, Lord, all across the world. Lord, they're trying different things, Lord, whether it be drugs or power or whatever, Lord, to try to fit in. But Lord, you tell us where we fit in your word. And Father, today I pray that you would help us to pay attention to you as you speak to us, Lord, through your word. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see the answer, Lord, where we fit. Father, we thank you so much for everything you've done for us. Lord, we look forward to a great Sunday. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. You know, if we were traveling on a boat, there's a certain type of vest you would want to wear. You know, there are many different types of vests. Which one would be appropriate? Well, you see, there's a weight vest. You can wear a vest, and you can put little weights in it and stuff like that. You go running and whatnot to kind of help build endurance. You could have a, what you call like a training vest, so it's like a weight vest. You could have a bulletproof vest, you know, it stops bullets and whatnot. You could have a suit vest. Man, you would look awfully snazzy in that boat with a suit dress or vest. And or you could have a life vest. So if you fell into the water, you know, you wouldn't drown. So of those four, which one would fit traveling on a boat? It'd be the what? The life vest. Yeah, unless of course you're in the water and they're shooting at you, then you might want a bulletproof vest, but then you drown. So then you just wear the suit vest, so at least you go out in style. Amen. What's missing in Washington, D.C.? Which one fits here? All right, which one's missing in Washington, D.C.? Money. A lot of money in Washington, D.C. Power. It's the seat of power for the entire world. Legislation. Oh, man, we got a lot of that. What about common sense? comments. Probably the last one. Yeah, that one could definitely fit there in Washington. How about a little more challenging one here? Which one fits? Which one fits? I'm going to name a couple countries here. What country has the largest reserves of oil? Which country has the largest reserves of oil? Is it Saudi Arabia, Venezuela, Kuwait, or Iran? Oh man, which one? Oh, I'm sorry. Saudi Arabia. Sorry, I said that one twice. Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Venezuela, or Iran. Which one is it? Anybody know? It's Venezuela. Man, a lot of smart people are in here today. What's the atomic weight of boron? There you go. Bet you don't know that one. Certain things fit, and certain things are obvious that they fit. Sometimes, like this last one, I read that stat, and I'm like, wow, I did not know it was Venezuela. It didn't seem to fit, but it did. Why did it fit? Because it's truth. And truth allows things to fit by its nature. You know, sometimes we don't believe that God works in our lives, but he does. And the reason we can believe that is because the Bible tells us that. You know, it fits that God knows that you are going to be here today. It fits that God knows that you're going to be here for this exact message today. It fits that God is interested in our lives. It fits that God loves us. But many times we don't believe that we fit into those categories. We don't believe that God, you know, foreordains us to be in certain places. We don't think it fits that God loves us. We don't think it fits that God has a plan for our lives. But it does fit. And you know what? You fit somewhere into God's plan. You fit perfectly into God's love. You fit perfectly in the heart of God. Where do I fit today? Hopefully we'll be able to answer that question for you. First off, everybody fits somewhere. Everybody fits somewhere. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians that he called some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be teachers. God gives gifts to people. The gifts of government, the Bible says, the gift of teaching, the gift of exhortation. God has given gifts to each individual in here. In this room, everybody has talents. Everybody has different abilities. And you fit somewhere. In God's house, in God's love, in God's plan, everybody fits somewhere. Nobody is an outsider. Nobody is unqualified. Nobody is unworthy. Isn't that completely opposite of what the world teaches? Oh man, if you want to be something in the world, man, you've got to have money. Or you've got to have something that's useful to other people. You've got to have something that is of value. God says, look, I look upon the pastor with the same value as I do the guy who is homeless, who has no house, who has no money, who has all sorts of addictions and can basically contribute nothing to society. You know what? I love both of them equally, and both of them have a perfect fit in my plan. And it's one thing to fit, but it's another thing to be a perfect fit. I do a lot of the maintenance around my house. Anything that doesn't involve cooking, basically, I try to tend to it, you know. And I leave the cooking to my wife. Man, I'm surprised I'm not, you know, incredibly, you know, overweight and stuff like that, because she's always baking something. And man, what was it you baked the other day? It's like some sort of peanut butter fudge. So I don't know. I just saw this brown like cake-looking thing in the refrigerator, and it's really thin, and I put a knife into it, and it's really thick, and I'm like, oh man, you know what, this has potential, and boy, I cut that thing out and put it in my mouth, and I was having like a bad day, you know, and literally, when I ate that thing, my demeanor changed, man. I was happy, and I'm like, man, Heather, I don't know what happened, but this is great. Then she said, yeah, it tastes good on a chocolate chip cookie as well, so man, I made like a sandwich, and oh man, it was so good. I'm like, oh baby, this is really good. Anyway, I just sat there and just smiled off into the distance, you know, for about 5 minutes. But you know, I do a lot of maintenance around the house, and I've noticed that sometimes if you don't quite have the right socket, So if a socket is standard, so it's like a 1/8 or, you know, 3/8 or whatever, and you have a metric socket set, sometimes you can get one that's really close and you can kind of push it on there and it'll work. But you can't do it too much because eventually it'll round off the bolt and you can't use it anymore. Some things fit well, and God says, hey, look, you know what? I have a perfect fit for your life. I have a fit that will bring you happiness, that will bring you fulfillment. I have a fit that is made just for you. A couple of months ago, hospital called me and they said, hey, we have a gentleman who's on life support, and we need you to come up here and help us out, you know, just with the process of taking him off life support. And, you know, he has a caretaker. His only family is there, and she needs a little bit of help, and walked up there, and, you know, there's the gentleman. Man, that was really tough to see somebody kind of go from life to death. Man, it's very, very difficult to go through. And the cool thing was this, the really cool thing, man. We were walking down to the car, and I said, you know what? I didn't even catch your name. What's your name? She told me her name. And she said, what's your name? And I said, oh, my name is Joe Shepherd. And she said, what? I'm thinking, oh, man, I hope I didn't, like, cut this lady off or do something mean to this lady, and now she's, like, found out, you know? I said, my name is Joe Shepherd. Didn't say it like that. Like, Joe Shepherd, man alive, yeah, the one and only. I said, yeah, my name's Joe Shepherd. And she said, you know what, that's amazing. And I said, why is that? And she said, because I was up there in that room, and as my, you know, former patient here was passing away, I prayed that God would send a shepherd to help me. And I thought, wow. That is awesome. That is so awesome. I'm glad that my family in the 1600s, when they came from Normandy, France, they changed their name to an American name, Shepherd. I mean, this is just great. You know what? For that time, I was a perfect fit. I was a perfect fit. Hey, look, everybody is a fit somewhere. And you, regardless of what the world says, regardless of what your bank account says, regardless of what is in your past, you are a perfect fit. Hey, number one, everybody fits somewhere. Number two, boy, this is key. You will not be fulfilled until you find your fit. You just won't. You will not be fulfilled until you find your fit. Well, I tell you what, man, I don't mean to pick on my wife, but, man, it is so funny. Oh, man, every Sunday morning, and she's got, like, you know, just like every other woman in here. So, guys, we're all in this together. Just a plethora of clothes, you know. She could kind of clothe the Russian army there. And it's like Sunday morning, it's the same thing. Joe, I have nothing to wear. And I'm just like, wow, man, you must have cooked something crazy in that fudge, because I must be hallucinating seeing all these clothes here. Looks like you do. And at any rate, I just wear the same suit every Sunday, and I'm happy. At any rate, look, nothing is worse than, like, a poor fit with your clothes. One thing that I hate is when I get, like, a pair of socks, and, man, you put them on, and you know the little seam, like where they sew it together at the very front of the sock, man, it just drives me nuts. I'm kind of getting aggravated just thinking about it. When the seam kind of gets underneath your toes, you know, and you can feel it all day long, and you're like wiggling your toes like throughout the day, just trying to kind of, you know, move it out of the way. It's like, oh man, this is just, it's horrible. It's not a perfect fit, or if something, man, is a little too tight, or man, a little too loose, or whatever, man, you're always tucking it in, or whatever. Oh man, it's just, it's a pain. You're always trying to compensate. Hat shopping for me is very difficult. Man, there's like a perfect hat that I have, and if I'm going shopping for a hat, man, there's a couple things that have to be, you know, right with it. You know, first of all, like it's got to be a ball cap. Okay, just ball caps, that's a baseball cap's only thing I can do, and the top of it can't be too high. You know, can't be too low. It's got to be just right. And the bill cannot be flat. I mean, I hate the flat bills. You know, you got to be able to bend those things. And and whatnot. At any rate, and the sides can't flare out. You know, it's got to be nice and tight and stuff like that. It's got to be perfect, or I look weird. And you may say, you look weird anyway, brother. Well, you know, whatever. My wife humors me. She says I look nice. But I was wearing a cowboy hat the other day for VBS, and you know, we were waiting for VBS to start. I put one on, and you know, I was kind of messing around. And I said, Jesse Davis came in, and I said, look, Jesse, I'm wearing a cowboy hat. And it's just, you know, it's just the right time to say that. It fit. And I said, I look weird in this cowboy hat, don't I? And he looked at me, and he was trying to be nice. You know, I'm his old youth pastor. You know, he doesn't want to say I look weird. And he goes, well, I think the problem is it's a female cowboy hat. And I'm like, number one, do they even make those? Number two, then it'd be a cowgirl hat. But I said, no, it's a regular hat. I just look weird in it. And he tilted his head, and then he just kind of walked away. And it's a mess trying to find clothes that perfectly fit. But you know, when you do find something that fits well, whether it be a dress or whether it be a suit, whether it be a nice shirt, nice pair of shoes, you feel nice. You feel like, oh man, you know what? I can conquer the world. It is great to have something that you look nice in. The Bible says a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. Oh man, I've definitely fulfilled the opposite of that verse before, and we all have. Hey, you know what? You will not be fulfilled until you find your perfect fit. You will not have happiness. You will not have joy until you find your perfect fit. And I'm not talking about finding the right job or finding the right spouse. Hey, we're talking about spiritual things today. You know what? Until you find your spiritual fit, you will never be fulfilled. What does that bring us to? Man, you know what? That's all foundation for point number three. We all fit in God's plan. We understand that everybody fits somewhere. We all understand that you will not be fulfilled until you find your fit. And these are just, man, just basic truths, man. These are just things that really don't need a whole lot of proof because they're so universally understood. But this last point here, you know what? It's not understood many times. We all fit in God's plan. You know what? Perhaps you don't feel loved today by people. That's okay. God loves you. You may not feel like you fit at work. You may feel like an outsider. That's okay. You fit in God's work. You fit in the church. You fit in God's will. What are three areas that we all fit in? And consequently, what are three areas, if we're not doing these things, we won't feel fulfilled? Letter A, serve. Letter A, serve. The Bible says the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Hey, God came down to this earth. He came down so that he could serve other people. You see it all throughout the Gospels, God going through, Jesus Christ going through different cities and different towns, man. And you know what? He's finding people who need help. He healed the blind. He raised the dead. He helped people who were crippled, man. He gave people purpose. He gave people joy. He came down and he ministered to people. And he just didn't help the people who could do things for him. He helped the people who were the lowest of the low in society's eyes. Man, he went to the publicans. He went to the harlots. He went to the people who could do absolutely nothing for them, and he served them. Remember one time in Georgia, we were out bus visiting, and in the part of Georgia we were in, if you saw somebody who was homeless, I mean, it was really rare to see somebody that was homeless. So, you know, whenever you saw one, it caught your eye. And I remember getting off Interstate 85 there, taking a right on Highway 29, and I noticed there was these two really sharp dressed men next to this homeless guy. And I looked closer. I'm like, man, you know what? That looks just like my pastor. And I'm like, oh, man, it is. It is my pastor. Number one, why is he on the little triangle there, you know, as you turn right off the exit ramp? Number one, why is he there? And number two, why is he talking to that guy? And it was interesting because he had went to McDonald's and he parked his car on the side of the road and he walked across the median there and crossed the traffic and he was handing this guy this bag from McDonald's. And I thought, man, how about that? Our pastor, you know, getting out of the car and really an inconvenience on his part to serve another man, a guy who can do nothing for him. Oh man, it's easy to get hardened and to get bitter, you know, with people who are always wanting something, man. But always remember that, hey, you know what? Jesus Christ, he came down to serve. Don't ever get above serving. Your life will never be fulfilled unless you have a servant's mentality. Hey, there's fulfillment in serving, in being humble, and helping. It is something that money can never buy, to help another person, to serve other people. Man, tomorrow night we have community outreach. Man, come serve with us. I tell you what, it is, to be quite honest with you, and this carries a lot of weight because I'm on staff, sometimes, you know what, it's tough to come to community outreach. It just is. Why is that? Oh, man, my wife works at 8 o'clock, and then, man, you got to get off late always on Monday. Doesn't matter if I take the day off at 12. You know, I end up working late on Mondays. And, man, you got dinner. Man, you got to cook for the boys, and you got to get the boys dressed, and then you got to pack Noah's diaper bag. It's like taking a rucksack, you know, from the Army, man. We got so much stuff in there. And it's just, oh, man, it's a pain. And you know what? Sometimes, you know what? I just do not want to come to community outreach. But you know what? When I leave, after I've finished serving, oh, man, you know what? Hey, I'm happy that I came. Hey, you may not be able to, you may not feel comfortable going out and knocking on doors and stuff like that, man. Come down, turn a wrench, write a letter, watch my kids. That's a big one right there. It might be a little much. So we need a straitjacket that they can't chew through. That'd be good. Maybe get one made of pterillium carbonic alloy. I don't know. Hey, serving fits. Serving fits. If you're saved, you were designed to serve other people. We all fit in God's plan. When you start to serve, you know what? You'll see how fulfilled you are. Letter B, to give. Hey, we need to give. We need to give. That's what Christians do. We give. Boy, do we have an example of that? Yeah, Christ gave his life on the cross for us. Boy, the Bible says that God loveth a cheerful giver. Man, nobody likes somebody who is stingy. Man, I love that is so frustrating when you go to a fast food restaurant and you order my favorite, a double quarter pounder with cheese, no pickles, add mayo. I got Christopher hooked on that now. And oh man, he ate one the other day. He said, Dad, I bet you I can eat a whole meal. I'm like, man, there's no way. If you can, I'll buy you another one. And I ordered one. I'm just like, you know, trying to give him a bunch of water and stuff like that beforehand so he won't finish it. And man, he devoured the whole thing. I'm like, oh man. Oh man, it's on now. But you order all this food for a family of like six and with five men in there and you order all these burgers and fries and stuff like that, and they give you like two packets of ketchup. And I'm like, oh man, this is not working. I cannot stand when people are stingy. Nobody can. Hey, don't be stingy with God. He's been so good to us, man. He's provided us with jobs. He's provided us with families. He's provided us with time. He's provided us with resources. Hey, just give back what is God's. Sometimes it's hard for me to give. It just is. Brother Shepherd, you're the treasurer, man. You should be like the most giving person in the church, man. You should be like excited about giving, man. You should like sign over your check and throw it in the offering, man. You should just be ecstatic about giving. Not if my wife is on, you know, Amazon for an hour. You know, then I'm like, oh man, this is the, you know, the bills are piling up. Not when the car breaks down, man. Not when, you know, it's abnormally hot for a month and I get the PG&E bill, man. You get all these bills coming in, and man, it's just life. The kids eat more. The kids, you know, ruin clothes and just different things happen all at once. And then you're like, oh man. You know what? Do I pay these bills or do I, you know, write the tithe check to God? Hey, it's tough sometimes, man. I understand that. Boy, but I also understand this. each time I don't want to give, and then I do give, I know I feel a lot better afterwards. When I don't give, I feel good for about 30 seconds because I get that money to myself. But boy, then, you know what, the rest of the week, I feel bad. Man alive, hey, there's fulfillment in giving. And this is not just a biblical thing for Christians. People who have, you know, achieved the whole getting rich thing, they realize the same thing. Bill Gates has a foundation called the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And it's just purely to help other people. Right now they're trying to eradicate, I think it's polio from Asia. They're trying to, I think, all over the entire world. He's the richest man in the world. Or he was at one time. He's one or two. He goes back and forth with a media mogul in Mexico. But he's earned all this money. And he looked at his bank account and he says, man, nobody in the world is can really touch me financially. What am I going to do with all this money now that I've achieved it? What else is there to do? Help other people. To give it away so that they can do good. Hey, give to God. You will not be unfulfilled. And then lastly, and I believe most importantly, where do we fit into God's plan? Well, we fit into God's plan through serving. We fit into God's plan through giving. And then letter C, where do we fit into God's plan? Loving. Loving. Jesus said, new commandment I give unto you, love one another. Love is fulfilling. Love buys what money never can. The ability to love and to be loved is the greatest fulfillment in the world. Knowing that my wife loves me, that's fulfilling. Man, no matter what happens, man, I go home, you know what? I know she loves me. Knowing that my kids love me, oh man, that is awesome. Boy, Michael, he is our rascal of the three. I mean, he is a live wire. He is all over the place. And man, he's always getting into stuff. And man, I get so frustrated with him sometimes because he just won't obey. And man, but you know what? When he comes up to me and he says, Daddy, I love you. I'm just like, oh man, you know, all those bad things you did, don't worry about it. You're just being a little boy. It's okay. Boy, love is incredibly fulfilling. Hey, the dollar will lose its value. Jobs will be shipped overseas. Home values fall, but love endures all heartaches, difficulties, and drama. Love is incredibly fulfilling, and it's free. If you're not serving, if you're not giving, man, if you're not loving, you'll never fit. You'll just never fit. Boy, if you're doing those things, you know what? You'll fit right into that fulfillment. You'll fit right in to God's plan. I want to watch a short video about a man who didn't fit. Before we play it, let me just ask you a question. If you had a guy up here who's, 6'9", all right? And you had a guy who's 5'3", which one would probably make it to the NBA and prosper? The guy who's what? 6'9", right? Exactly. That fits. Let's watch this video real quick about a guy who, basically, you could call him Zacchaeus.
In a part of a winning team.
For all of Spud's accomplishments, Muggsy Bogues' story is perhaps even more incredible. At only 5'3", he entered the NBA as the shortest player in league history. And as he joined the Washington Bullets, who also boasted the league's tallest player, it seemed that he would be more of an oddity than a legitimate player.
When I first got drafted, I thought, you know, they was really committed to me. But as the season went along, I just saw it as a novelty act, just something to sell tickets.
After a frustrating rookie season, he was left unprotected in the expansion draft. But turning this apparent rejection into an opportunity, he would make his mark with the Charlotte Hornets.
Bogues at the top, penetrates, goes in for the layup. It is good.
Is he exciting? I'd pay to see him.
He just disrupts everything.
What a steal by Muggsy Bogues.
No guys running around in between your legs. He just plays with so much heart and hustle.
Fumbled for a moment. Bogues picks his pocket.
I try to put pressure on my opponent every time, and I know that I'm going to get it sooner or later.
Stop! Muggsy.
In addition to his defensive skills, Muggsy also became a premier playmaker.
Great pass by Muggsy.
I feel very comfortable dribbling the basketball without looking at it, and it allowed me to look around and see what's going on out on the basketball court.
From 1990 to 1994, only John Stockton accumulated more assists, a feat that Muggsy's teammates clearly appreciated.
It makes me run harder because I know that, hey, if I run, I'm going to get the ball. He's always told me, Zoe, you run, I will see you.
Yeah! Muggsy's inspirational story has made him a fan favorite, especially for smaller fans.
Go, Muggsy!
For them, he's a role model with whom they can easily identify.
Muggsy!
I really never thought about my height. Other people see me as 5'3". I just see myself as a person and not really any height. I just play my game and just play the best way I know how.
For all the obstacles that Spud and Muggsy overcame,
a guy who people look at and they say, you know what? He does not fit. But he did. Not only did he fit, he was a perfect fit. God loves you so much, and you are a perfect fit right where you are. He wants you to be perfect. He wants you to be a perfect fit. He wants you to be fulfilled through serving, through giving, and through loving. Do you want to feel like you are the perfect fit you are to God? Make it happen. Be fulfilled. How? By giving, serving, and loving. Let's stand in as we bow our heads and close our eyes.